You're gonna feel the power. It's gonna turn it on. Interpret your dreams. Just wait and see. The Dream Company. The Dream Company. The Dream Company.
The Dream Company.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Dream Company. This is episode 30. Okay, Donnie, start us off.
Okay, well, last week I was talking about past life and dream. And I had related a dream of being an African-American in the old South, right before the turn of the century, I believe it was, and how he was burned alive. He was a guitar player playing in white establishments. And he had been warned by the KKK to stop, and he didn't listen, and he and his family were burned alive. Now, one thing I didn't mention about the dream was it was substantial. There were no dream shifts or weird things, dreamy kind of things happening in the dream. It was as though I were experiencing on the inside of that dream character what had actually gone down in reality when I was the soul in his body. And together with the dream was the knowledge that this was who I had been in a recent past life. Now, I have mentioned before that in dreams, a Jewish identity began coming up often in dreams, lucid dreams at first. And it wasn't all my life like this. Like I said, the black character, I had watched him grow up as I was growing up. He had been in my dreams all of my life. And this was different. The Jewish identity began arising in dreams during those 3 or 3.5 years of intense occult and spiritual experience I've referred to numerous times. I don't know if it was before or after going down to the well of soul and making the hard link, the hard connection of my conscious to the soul realm. I couldn't tell you. I would like to say it was after, but I'm not sure. Anyway, in many dreams, it would happen like for one, I was in a movie theater full of Jewish children, and there was an old Jewish lady that was attending to the kids and everything, and I was there kind of helping her out. And she said, you know what it is, don't you? Or something like, you're Jewish. And I had many dreams like that, and it was just clicked in the dream. Of course, yes, I'm Jewish. Yes, I am. But it was inexplicable because I have no Jewish ancestry. And so, you know, what was going on? And finally, not very long ago, I think it was about 3 years ago, I had a lucid dream. I was at a family gathering, a party, and we were all, you know, doing the family party thing. And I had an uncle that was setting off away from everyone else, an older uncle, and he was Jewish. And I went up to him because I was also Jewish, and we connected there for a moment. And in the dream, I did have lucidity. I think the lucidity came around then. And I kind of recognized, wait a minute, this is something coming from a past life. And it wasn't very long afterwards that I had a dream, not a substantial, solid, this is reality dream, when I realized who this black character had been, I had been dreaming of all my life, myself in a past life. It was the shifty, everything happening in a dream, except I was a Jewish man about, I think I was in my mid-20s or early 30s, and I was very poor, and it was the time of Nazi Germany. And I was hiding in the country. We were being hid by farmers. And throughout the dream, there was the presence and the threat of the train. We weren't far from the train tracks. And thousands of Jews were being taken to the concentration camp that was nearby and exterminated. And that was a threat the whole time. In the dream, it could have happened. We could have been captured, and I could have been on one of those trains heading to the concentration camp. I don't know which one. And I remember walking in the country with other Jewish people that were in hiding. There were only a handful of us. One of them, the lady that I was married to, and I realized in the dream that was a girl that was a good friend of mine in Garberville. And I never quite had a relationship with her. One, I'm not attracted to women, but we didn't actually get together, but we had a strong bond that we just couldn't put our fingers on. There was something that just attracted to us to one another. We were very good friends, although she was not quite like happy with me because what I was attracted to. And but their bond was there. And in that dream, I realized, wow, she had been my wife in this other life. And the dream happened, and I actually was on a train, except it wasn't a train to a concentration camp. It was like a train before the war, and it had the cars where the rich people were. And I ventured into one of those cars, and I was a Jewish person myself, and these were very rich Jews, and opulence. Oh, boy, did they have opulence on that train. And I even realized I wasn't welcomed in that particular car on the train, even though I was Jewish, because I was poor. And a dream shift happened, and it all turned into women's lingerie and women's clothes. other things happened in the dream. It just kept shifting. And then towards the end of the dream, I was in a field not far from the tracks, and going, it was kind of like an amusement ride, like a maypole that you went around in a spiral fashion. It was a strange kind of thing, and I'm not describing it very well, but it had to do with the consciousness, and it had to do with achieving silent mind. And this character that I was in the past life, in his despondency and in his utter despair in his life situation and what was going on with his country and the world, he hit kind of rock bottom, and he experienced silent mind, the spiritual consciousness. Now, and the dream ended soon after that. And wow, what a dream to look at. And I realized I have had a little bit of a propensity in this life for the spiritual consciousness. I've experienced it a couple of three times or so. And it comes from experiencing that in the past life. And I imagine I wasn't the only one in that situation that actually died with spiritual accomplishment. And so there was more going on in those terrible times than I think we realize, even spiritual things going on. Now, what I had a hard time was fitting it into the timeline. Now, Sri Aurobindo, the mother, says when you die, if your soul is mature, growing up, you know, getting up there in maturity, you spend a long time in the afterlife. Well, if my previous life had been a black man in the old South of the turn of the
1800s.
The late 1800s, that doesn't give a whole lot of time. You know, that meant that I had died, you know, in that fire, whenever that was. And World War II was, well, that was 1945. So I would have only have spent a few years in the afterlife before I was reborn in a Jewish body in Nazi Germany, or in Germany before it was taken over by the Nazis. But if you remember, I mentioned last time that when I was murdered by the KKK as a black man, that was a soul moment, and it was the moment my soul became an adult, that when it could then choose its incarnations. And for some reason, inexplicable to me, it chose the scapegoat process. And so the very next body it put on was the scapegoat of a Jew in Nazi Germany. In this life, a pedophile in American culture and Western world culture, I should say. But the interesting thing about the Jewish person that I was in this past life, it didn't start manifesting until I was well on the spiritual path, and somewhere around the time that I had reached soul ground, you know, where those memories are. And so I'm giving an example of how we encounter our past selves, the past lives and dreams. And a lot depends upon soul contact, how much soul contact you have. And if you have made that journey that we keep describing of going to the ground of soul, the inmost place in yourself consciously, and bringing your conscious down there and making that heart connection. Now, anyway, I have begun posting the book that I spoke about earlier when I have spoken about dreams I've had of Jewish people and the dream I was talking about being discriminated against in Israel by Jewish people, and that a book had come out of that experience. And so I began posting that online, and we'll leave a link in the description. It's also a memoir of many things I've been speaking of here, and most of the major spiritual and metaphysical experiences I've had in my life in the context of the bigotry that I faced at the hands of Jews when I was in Israel. Now, it sounds, wow, very controversial, But you would have to read it to see what I mean. I'm trying to get at the heart of racism itself, you know. And so I'm really looking at group identity. And Jewish identity, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the strongest group identities on this earth. And so that's examined in the book, not just Jewish identity, but group identity itself and its relation to humanity and our evolution towards oneness. So the link's in the description, and you can read that. Anyway, I think Douglas has a dream to share. Do you, Douglas?
I had a dream a couple of days ago where there was a soccer match going on, and I wasn't playing at first. And I think we were playing a girls' team, which, like, when I was a kid, they would humiliate us every year in soccer, right? Like, by making us play the girls' team that was the next age level up. And they would soundly kick our ass every year. So, anyway, but in the dream, we were playing a girls' team like that. And at one point, I came in, and we were down, I think, 4 goals. And I was playing really hard. I was really playing hard. And at one point, I took a shot at the goal, and it went in, but for some reason, it didn't count. Anyway, that was the end of the dream, I think.
Well, how did you pluck it into your life?
Well, that day, you know, as I've mentioned in other podcasts, I've been dealing with anxiety and the negative thoughts that accompany it, and, you know, trying to throw them out, and it's difficult, you know, but that day I did a better job. I mean, I was playing hard, and so, you know.
But you weren't, like, completely successful in throwing them out, right?
Well, no, I mean, no.
You had some success, but the goal...
In the morning, it was, you know, but in the afternoon, it was more difficult.
Okay, so it was like, you made the goal, but the goal didn't count.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so what happened the next day?
I don't remember.
Okay, well, if I remember, some of the gains that you had made, we weren't able to carry over the next day.
Yeah.
And so I think that has to do with, well, you made the goal, but
yeah,
the goal didn't count. But it's showing your struggles, you know, with this anxiety that you're suffering with. And it's showing process. Now, you also had a vision the other morning that gave you guidance. Can you share the vision?
It was like I was on the ground, and then I kind of like sprung up into the air, and I said, get away from me.
Yeah, you're like sprung up into the air away.
From a person. I mean, I think it might have been Sri Aurobindo. I'm not sure.
Okay, away from a person, yes.
Yeah, but anyway, I took that as being trying to get away from the anxiety or trying to tell it to get away from me.
And when you said that, you were saying that with great force, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. And so as I saw that and interpreted it, and I think you did too, it was giving you guidance on gaining some detachment from the anxiety and using a strong force of will to get it away from you.
Yeah, I think it was the same day as the dream about the soccer, if I remember right.
I think so. Now, we had a discussion the
day. And I had an ardent, you know, I was able to take that ardent will, but I couldn't maintain it.
Yeah, right. The goal didn't count, but you made the goal. Okay, now, interesting, you had the impression it might have been Sri Aurobindo, and we had a long conversation, I think the day before, on the spiritual changes in consciousness. And in this yoga, and when they begin to manifest, sometimes they're really not easy to assimilate. And like, for example, if you have something in your ancestry and in your genes and in your subconscious, like in your family, an anxiety disorder, sometimes that gets mixed in with these changes, the changes in consciousness. And so it becomes really difficult to navigate, associate, and assimilate any change that comes on from the yoga that we're doing. And so this, I was suggesting that this anxiety wasn't just that, it was mixed up with changes in your consciousness and fluctuations from the yoga. So perhaps your dream maker took that, and it was Sri Aurobindo that you were trying to get away from for that reason. And so at least that's the way that I would interpret it.
Yeah.
And because when you do the practices that you have been doing for so many years, changes do come. And if there are things in your makeup, in your subconscious, and in your dreams, like anxiety disorder or other things, they're going to come up and they have to be dealt with. And that's not easy. It makes it double difficult to assimilate such change. And but anyway, this is an ongoing process. And you're not only dreaming about the process itself, you're being given guidance. And, you know, the main thing you've been told is, get distance from it and use a force of will to keep the anxiety out, right? And unfortunately, I have found in my own disorder, which is a sexual disorder, a social sexual disorder, the worst on this earth in most people's opinions, there's no cure for these sorts of things. There's no magic button that you can push. There's no magic tablet that you can take. It all boils down to a force of will on your part. There is no getting around using will to say no to your desires, to your anxieties, to your fears. There's no getting around it. And it has to do with the very conditions of earth existence itself and the school that we're in here. It is not easy to graduate. It's not even easy to make good grades, high marks. And so, because it will always boil down to you using your will to overcome yourself. And that's the hardest thing to do on earth. And I'm sorry to tell people this. I'm sorry to tell you this, Douglas. I am really very sorry to tell myself this because I have to use this will every single day. And luckily, there's release. And when we are realized, desire is no longer present when we're in the spiritual consciousness. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel. But like, how many people get realized on this earth? We put these results in God's hands. And we learn to achieve mastery. That mastery is when we are no longer defeated by our vital. And we're able to use the mental will, aided by the mental purusha, the representative of the psychic being in the mind, to control ourselves and to master nature. And this is not easy. Wow. I mean, there's nothing more difficult, like I said. Anyway, Matun, you're coming from another perspective. Can you tell us your experiences, please?
So, earlier this week, in the morning, I guess, I had this experience in which I felt this, not just felt, I actually experienced this shooting of fire particles, like lengthy, like
sparks,
like
fires,
yeah, sparks, and like, yeah, like just as this cone-shaped Deepavali thing that they do, you know, that fire object that,
right,
yeah, that shoots out, right?
Right. So fountains up.
Yeah,
fountains in a cone shape.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was like that, actually, to the point.
And you saw these pieces of fire.
Yeah, yeah, like
it was coming from your solar plexus.
Yeah, it was rushing upward to the point that I actually thought my bedroom is burned
on fire. On fire, right. Wow. I mean, that's real.
I actually thought, actually, I had to open my eyes. And then
your room is a fire hazard with all this stuff.
Well, we should take a picture and leave it on the description.
Yeah,
the description.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
All right.
Yeah, so yeah, it was rushing upward, so luminous, and I had to open my eyes to make sure that it was not burning actually in the waking life. Anyway, that one. So.
Okay, wait, before you go to another one.
Okay.
All right, now we spoke about this at length for a while. Now, what was going on with that experience? That's not a vision, that's an experience. Mm-hmm. What was going on with that?
Probably an activation of the solar plexus.
Yes. An opening of the solar plexus chakra, the stomach chakra. Whoa. I mean, sparks and all. Mm. What an opening. And it's the very, well, I should share this with people. The very place that I have a block is the solar plexus.
And I have it on the throat.
Yeah, you have your block in the throat, exactly, which is interesting. But you're so sattvic, too. Now, what is the stomach chakra? What does it represent, the stomach region? Well, for one, it's the lower vital. Mm. It's not the higher vital. It's not a focus of concentration in our yoga, as I've said before. We're not trying to arouse the kundalini. Mm. We focus on the crown chakra, the third eye, and the heart. And we want to bring down the divine into us, and then the divine opens and purifies us as it goes down, opening our chakras. Mm. Now, you're doing a little bit of a different kind of thing with a Kriya yoga that you're doing.
I'm trying to integrate that, basically.
Yeah, I understand. I have warned you. That's all I can do.
but if you have seen the pattern.
Yeah, no, I've seen the pattern. No, it's wonderful
it's
stuff.
It's a descent. It's more of a descent than from within than, you know, I accidentally did something that happened that Kundalini arose. But apart from that, you know, it was mostly the descent or from within.
Right. Well, now, I don't know if the people listening really realize that you can really manipulate energy, your energy, and not just through breathing exercises, but through will and things like that. And when I first met Matuni, he was 13 and he wanted superpowers. And what I wanted to do was open up his dream life so he would begin lucid dreaming and things like that. And so what I did was I had him focus on his perineum at the base of his spine. I didn't touch it. I had him focus his consciousness.
Yeah, he didn't touch it to make it show.
I had him focus his consciousness there and do a very laborious type of pranayama where you do a bindu and you hold the breath and you hold the eyes up because you're bringing the energy up from the base of the spine. And we did that for a short period of time. And it got really good results. I mean, lucid dreams, inner voice, and vision. So much so that he was getting lost in school, and he got kind of scared because he was just sitting there staring off in space. And so I stopped that practice, and I had him focus on the heart and the forehead. But anyway, to make a long story short, he's having results now in the opening of his chakras. And that's one of the reasons I wanted him to share. Mm. That is how it looks like when a chakra is activated. It is unmistakable.
And also weird sometimes. Weird. It's not like something we think of.
No. Yeah. But the other thing is, now the solar plexus is a really interesting center. It's like there's a sun in there. And it's more than just in... The stomach is where we have relations with the world. If someone thinks about you and, you know, they want to whatever with anger or whatever, it's going to hit you in the stomach. And so it's where we have our big relations with the world. But more than just that, it's a place of power. I think it's the center of qi in a Chinese system or two, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a very important region. And I can't even begin to sound the depths of its meaning. But wow, what an activation. Mm. Now, you have another experience.
It's a dream experience.
This is a dream
yesterday.
Experience.
So, first let me just get to the point. First, I had this vision of my dad. I kept a big vision, like, you know, on my forehead, like super big vision of my dad.
Your dad was on your forehead?
Yeah, on my forehead. And I saw him being a little sad. So I told him, don't worry, everything will be all right. I was sending the will to him. I felt his presence as I was talking to him. And then suddenly, as the vision went off, there was this kind of, as if something is running in my, some motor is running inside
almost
my...
Almost like an airplane noise a little bit?
A little bit, but it was more like some motor running in my...
motor, okay, yeah, gears running, and things.
Yeah, in my...
On the third eye.
Yeah, in the third
okay.
eye. So as soon as that happened, I had a dream in which I was in this room and I tried to open my third eye. Like I wanted to, like, I was focusing on my third eye. And then what happened was my head started to become larger and larger and larger to the point, let's say my body was only as small as my hand.
Paper thin.
Yeah, paper thin, like so right. small. But my head was like so big, as wide as the big room actually I was in. So big, my body was too tiny. I was able to feel the tininess of my body.
Right.
I was only able to feel the head was more important than body to me.
Okay, so
that's all I
what
remember.
Happened?
That's all I remember.
Well, I mean, no, okay. Well, tell us what that means. What went on with you in those moments? What were you experiencing?
It was definitely something about the third eye.
Oh, definitely something about the third eye.
You think?
Yeah. Okay, well, all right. Let me help you out a little bit.
Okay, please.
And, all right. Now, in that instance, it was as though you were entering the mental plane.
Right. You told me yesterday.
Right.
I forgot.
And you were leaving the physical plane. That's why it became so insubstantial, it became paper thin. And you're the seat of your consciousness. You entered the mental plane. And notice the expansion. The mental being is, oh my goodness, huge. And in comparison, of course, to the cramped physical consciousness and the physical nature. Now, you encountered your father in the mental realm.
Mm.
You didn't encounter him in the vital realm, where normally we would when we're dreaming of relatives.
Yeah.
You encountered him with your third eye.
Mm.
So I told you that that was a very substantial communication. He probably, during that time or thereabouts, he thought about you. And, you know, you were able to give him some kind of solace or comfort because he was very sad. And I'm pretty sure that you were seeing him at that moment.
Mm.
The mother says that on the mental plane, we're traveling all over the world. You think about someone in your mind, you're actually making some, on some level, you're making a contact with that person. You think about Rome in your mind. And more than just in a manner of speaking, you're going to Rome. And these are things hard to get the head around. But the mental plane is much different than the physical plane, and the travel is instantaneous. And now, it's not that your seat of your consciousness goes to Rome or Paris or wherever, but a part of your being, it goes there in the mind. So you're making contact in the mind in an instant with anything, anybody, anywhere. So when you're thinking about someone in your mind, it's not something happening isolated in your mind that does not affect that person at all, is what I'm trying to say. It has its effects, and it's something we can talk about for a long time. But I think that will suffice, you know, to show this was the mental plane, and you entered the mental plane with the seat of yourself, right, and left the physical plane. And so something, there's a lot happening in your process right now, your spiritual process, the process with the subtle body, your chakras. The third eye is opening more and more, something that we've talked about a whole lot. And it's really beautiful to see, you know, and it's also, well, how can I say, when people hear of other people having experiences like this, it shows what's possible. And, you know, we don't have to just whatever, adopt a bunch of beliefs, follow a Ten Commandments and read these books and follow these diets. There is so much more to the spiritual path than practices. There's the opening of the inner consciousness. And that's one of the things that we've been trying to show, as well as how to interpret dreams.
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else to say?
Anna, do you have anything to say?
Oh, Anna, yeah, I have something to ask. How long did it take this podcast?
Oh, 30,
a little over 30 minutes. Okay, that's
easy to edit. Nitish was not able to join us today, and he did have a dream to share, but he had to go to a function with his family. And hopefully he'll be here next week to brighten up our faces with his nice questions and wonderful dreams. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's all I have.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.